Okay, it's Food Maven time, boys and girls. And I have the honor of speaking to Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven, who makes me drool. Hi, Arthur, how are you?
I make myself hungry sometimes.
Yeah. It's inevitable.
Okay.
after 20-some-odd minutes.
Always hungry, you know.
Well, that's what happens. If you like, you know, again, if you like food, if you talk about it well, you really should not get to the end of whether it's a conversation or a dialogue or a radio show, without creating some sort of like, I think I got to go eat that.
Well, so that happened to me a couple weeks ago. I did that event at the Eldridge Street Synagogue. And as often happens when I'm in person, somebody will come up to me and say, I love your lentil and pasta recipe. And so, of course, I've been craving it since that woman said that. And it was, until fairly recently, something I made very regularly. And it's a really great recipe. It opened up that world of, and here's the Italian word, minestra. One would be minestra, and a big one would be a minestrone, which we all know that word. It's a category of dish. You know, if you look it up, it's going to tell you that minestra means soup, but it's not really soup. I mean, if it's a brothy soup, chances are it's going to be called zuppa or brodo, not going to be called a minestra. But you would never eat, for instance, a soup and then a minestra. Minestra is poor people food, basically, because at a time when the rich people were eating a couple of three courses, the poor people were still putting everything on one dish. And these are the dishes that people live on to this day. Actually, now it's very stylish, you know, to eat these one-dish things, these cucina povera, the poor people food, especially at night. Either you go out for pizza or you have a minestra. If you're old, you stay home and eat minestra. And I'm at that stage of life where I'm at home eating my minestra. And so I made my own recipe, which I hadn't done in quite a while. And it was so sensational, got to say, that I'm going to make it again tomorrow when somebody's coming for lunch. It's a good dinner dish, a good lunch dish. It's lentils and pasta. But I want to get to the whole... There are details that should not be ignored. For instance, if you're making pasta and lentils, you have choices of pasta, and you have choices of lentils. Now, I buy, in the supermarket, Goya brand, so very well distributed, Pardina, P-A-R-D-I-N-A, Pardina lentils, which are small brown lentils from Spain. They're the same, if not at least similar enough, to those expensive brown lentils they sell from Umbria in Italy, which is famous for its lentils. I'm not saying these are not good lentils. They're great lentils, except that they demand a great price as well. Whereas the Pardina, I don't know, they're under $2 a pound. So it is still poor people food. Then you have by the way, you can make this with any lentil, except don't make it with red lentils. Red lentils are hulled, and they fall apart, become a puree very, very quickly, which is nice and delicious, but not for this dish. In this dish, you want a lentil that's going to hold together somewhat after a half an hour of cooking. So I use these Pardina lentils. I'm going to give the recipe right off the top of my head here. 3/4 cup of lentils to five cups of water, and just put the two together in a pot. And let them boil for 20 minutes. I usually let the water come to a boil first, add the lentils, and cover the pot, only so that you don't get a lot of evaporation. You need water here. You don't want it to evaporate. So just cook them at a nice little brisk simmer, covered, until they're more or less tender, 20 minutes. And then you add seasoning. My seasonings are, for 3/4 cup of lentils, 5 cups of water, 2 heaping soup spoons of tomato paste. I buy my another choice you have. I've given up on buying canned tomato paste, and then I have leftover in the can, and even if I put it in the freezer, it's still, I don't know.
So you buy it in the tube now?
I've been buying it in the tube.
Yeah. I was Contadina for years, but then it was, honestly.
Good tomato paste.
Yeah, it was really good tomato. And I have to say that there was, let's say, two-decade gap in between, and it was still good tomato paste. But I don't know what to do with the whole can. So
I need that much tomato paste, rarely if ever. So the tube is very, very handy. And so you squeeze out two rounded heaping, more a heaping than rounded soup spoons I used, of tomato paste and let that dissolve in there. I used one gigantic clove of garlic, two regular large cloves of garlic, finely chopped or smashed or any way you want to get them into the pot. Three tablespoons, I would say, you can make it two if you want, of extra virgin olive oil. Pour that into the pot of lentils. And I use a little bit of hot pepper. You can use a lot of hot pepper if you like, but I live with somebody who can't tolerate a lot of hot pepper. So a little hot pepper, and then let them cook for another 5 or 10 minutes, and now you've got your lentil base. And to that, you have to make another choice, which pasta to use. Now, I buy something called pasta mista or mischiata, depending on the packaging. Most of the packages that I see in the U.S. say mista, and I just bought a package in the supermarket, so I know that they exist around. I used to have to go to specialty places or even bring it in from Italy if I wanted. And what it is pasta in mixed shapes all together. There's usually some kind of like tubular, a little a small tube. There's some flat noodles, short. There's some kind of spaghetti-ish noodles. There's a corkscrew. This is in my pack. This is what I get. It comes from the days when people bought pasta loose at the grocer, and at the bottom of the barrel, it would be all these scraps, and the grocer, to eke out every dollar he could from this pasta, would mix it all together and sell it. And this is a great pasta for making the pasta and dishes, pasta and lentils, pasta and beans, pasta and peas, because it adds a variety of texture to what could be a very boring dish.
Well, also, it lets you, lets things land on piece. I don't know how to describe this, but some pastas are just all wrong for what you're trying to put on it.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, a friend of mine wrote a whole book on this. Maureen Fand Zanetti is her last name. But anyway, she's a historian, an Italian historian. They wrote a book on it. It's called Sauces and Shapes. And it pairs every shape they could think of. And they wrote another one called An Encyclopedia of Pasta. So it's a set. You should get both of them. One of them has recipes, and the other one is basically an encyclopedia of pasta. And you'll see, if you had this book, you could see how the same shape is called different things, different words in different places. It could be next door village. They're calling it something else. I'm going to give you an example in a minute. But let me finish this recipe. So 3/4 cup of lentils boiled in 5 cups of water with 2 rounded spoons of tomato paste, 2 or 3 tablespoons of several glugs of extra virgin olive oil, a little hot pepper, if you like. I like a little. I like a lot, actually. And you let that simmer a little longer. Add your pasta. Now, if you're using pasta mista, which is a little on the heavy side, I don't cook it inside the soup. I cook it for 5 minutes in boiling salted water, as you would for, you were cooking it all together. But you drain it before it gets tender, and you add it to the soup and let it finish cooking with the lentils. I used to make this only with broken spaghetti or broken angel hair. I love saying this in Italian, spaghetti spezzati.
Is that broken spezzati?
If you recall, only a few weeks ago I was pointing out that I was really tempted to call my last book Pomodori Schiacciati e Spaghetti Spazzate, Broken Spaghetti and Crushed Tomatoes. Anyway, so I used to do it with, if you do it with spaghetti or broken spaghetti or broken angel hair, you can cook it right in the pot. And then it'll be a thicker dish because you're gonna, it gives off a lot of starches, the pasta, as it cooks. Be careful, stir it a lot, because it, once you add the pasta and get it simmering, it can stick to the bottom. Depends on how much pasta. Now, I just made this for just Bob and me the other night, and I used only a modest amount, only 4 ounces of pasta mista, which I cooked for 7 minutes, and then put into the... In with the lentils, let it cook another few minutes until the pasta was just about tender enough. And then, now this is important, pasta and beans, pasta and lentils, let it stand for at least 5 minutes. It's not going to cool off. And believe me, it's actually quite delicious when it's not quite very hot, you know, when it's a little cooled down. But let it stand, and the pasta will continue to cook and absorb a liquid. If it gets too thick, you can always add a little bit of water to loosen it. Don't worry that you're thinning out the taste. You're not really. So that's my pasta and lentils. Oh, and parsley. I do put in quite a bit of parsley at the end and save a few flakes to put on top of the plate because, you know, otherwise it's just brown food. And it's really good. Now, pasta and beans, I do different. Pasta and beans, I cook my beans, white beans, cannellini beans. Recently, I bought, really at my meat market, he also has Italian groceries, some cannellini beans imported from Umbria, and they were sensational. And then I said, you know, could these be that much better than the Goya that I can buy in the supermarket? And the answer is yes.
Okay.
They were much better. So, and I've been cooking them. I bought a lot just to make sure that I don't, they don't run out. And I, what I do is I cook, you soak them overnight, like most dried beans you should, even though there is a fast cooking method for beans. I prefer the old-fashioned let them soak. By the way, that comes also from the soaking of beans instead of putting them right on the flame, because you need so much more fuel to cook a bean from hard state, dry state, to creamy tenderness, if you do it in from scratch in the water, whereas if you let it soak, it cuts down on the cooking time. So I soak them, and then I simmer them in their soaking water. I do not throw out that water, with a couple of cloves of garlic, lightly smashed under my hand. And a glug or two or three of extra virgin olive oil, and let them simmer until they're almost tender. And I simmer them very, very gently. Really, you have to keep an eye on them. I do think that, you know, you don't want them to burst too early. You want them to absorb the liquid slowly so they get really creamy inside. And sage. Did I say I put sage in the water also?
I did not hear that.
Yeah, so it's a sage and garlic and beans and the cooking water. If you have to add water as it goes, fine. I cook them in an open pan and watch them. And when and they take, even after soaking overnight, they're going to take a good 45 minutes, an hour, at a gentle, gentle simmer, and let them cool in the liquid. Actually, I learned that you should cook them a little further than you think is just tender enough, creamy. Do not make al dente beans. Beans should not be firm. They should be creamy. So I take them a little further than just creamy, because as they cool, and they will firm up a little bit again. And though that water is soup, it's not, you know, it's not no longer cooking liquid. It's so delicious. Beans, sage, garlic. Of course, add salt towards the end. And then I could eat just those beans in their liquid, heated up, with some pasta cooked on the side, mixed in. And pasta mista is a good one for that. Or something like a small tubular pasta, like ditali, is good in there. I also like a larger tubular pasta. Gomiti is an Italian word for elbows, and they're delicious in there, especially because the beans get caught in the elbows. Any pasta you like, you could eat with these beans. It's all about the beans and freshly ground black pepper. I don't cook those with hot pepper. And then I have what I call, listen to this one. Do you ever have pasta and potatoes?
Yes, and ooh. I liked it.
You did like it?
Yes.
It's one of those dishes, and all these dishes, actually, can be made a zillion million ways. Even though they may only have three or four ingredients, there are different ways to put it together. There's always, in Italy, the tomato or no tomato version. For instance, the pasta and beans with sage and garlic. I could see making a little sort of tomato sauce and adding my beans and some of the bean liquid and pasta, and that makes a nice soupy, tomato-y pasta and beans. Pasta fagioli or pasta fazool, as some people call it. I mean, people live on pasta fazool.
No, it's true. It's true they do. And you know, some people, I'm going to say, make it better. You know, some people make it better than others. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, well, you know, it's also the day.
Yeah, it's true.
The vibe and the day. I must say that when I made the pasta and lentils the other night, I've made this so many hundreds of times. I didn't look at the recipe. I just made it. But then when I did look at the recipe afterwards, I realized I made it according to the recipe, to the letter. And pasta and potatoes is one of my favorite things, but I rarely make it. And Americans love, how can you eat two carbs in the same bowl? Yeah, but it's so good. And it's usually seasoned with a little bit of pork product, like something called gambuccio, which is the shank of the prosciutto, which is not good for slicing into beautiful prosciutto. It can still be diced and used as seasoning for other things. That's what I really like to use in this. And a little onion or spring onion is what I prefer, otherwise known as scallions. And you make a little and herbs. You got to have some parsley here, and you make a little seasoning flavoring, and you cook your potatoes with water with that, and then you add pasta, and then you go to heaven.
Yeah.
I once called a friend in Italy in August, and I always said this to friends in the old days. What are you eating for lunch? Actually, Iris, I just spoke to yesterday, she volunteered what she was eating for lunch because she knows I'm always interested. So I called this friend, and she said, oh, I have pasta and patate. She said, pasta and potatoes. I said, but it's August. Something heavy like pasta and potatoes? She says, there is no season for pasta and patate.
It's true. I mean, true confession that's really probably mortifying. Yeah, it's something that would be just really good cold.
Cold, no.
Yeah.
Room temperature.
Room temperature. I'm sorry. That's the opposite.
Yeah, we don't want cold, but
I mean congealed.
Lot of this can be eaten at room temperature. In fact, it's Americans don't get room temperature food the way Europeans do.
I agree. And I'm talking, I've just gone European on you.
No, I must say that food and sweets is the same. When it's at room temperature, you taste things better.
Absolutely.
I just bought a new coffee that I haven't bought before. It was a good price. It's something roasted in Brooklyn. I thought, well, I should buy that. So I did, and it's really good coffee. However, I realized it's much better at room temperature. Now, if only I was in the mood for iced coffee in the morning, it would be perfect. I don't drink coffee after the morning.
See, and my dad used to always say, hot. You know, he'd menace wait staff.
Well,
because he just liked it hot, and I could never. I drink at room temperature.
Well, I mean, the thing is this. I drink, you know, I make a pot of espresso-type pot of coffee, and the second mug is always room temperature by the time I get to it. And then I have to make another pot to get it if I want a hot coffee. I'm okay with room temperature coffee, and it tastes... I did have some the other day in the afternoon. I never do. But it was left over. I didn't want to waste it. I said, you know what? I haven't had an iced coffee in the afternoon in a long time with a little milk. With milk and an ice cube, it tasted almost like chocolate. A really different flavor than when you have it hot, especially hot and black. So room temperature is part of that. And by the way, salt is less salty when cold or at room temperature.
Right. And you mentioned that last week, and I don't know how much time we have left, so look at your clock. But
it's 12:24. I'm sorry, it's not 12:24. Whatever it is.
We got 5 minutes.
We have 5 minutes.
But the point being that last week you mentioned about something else entirely, that the salt, the amount of salt that something needs, depending on temperature, out of the refrigerator or not, is different. And I am...
And here's another one. This I learned many years ago from a friend who was put on a salt-free diet, that spicy food masks the lack of salt. So, for instance, I can make you a low-salt, almost no-salt, bowl of chili, and you probably, if you like it hot, you probably would not notice the lack of salt. And if you put a few squeezes of lime on the top, that brings up flavor the way salt does. So, there are, you know, the temperature does play a part in all this.
And I didn't know that about lime. It does not work with lemon?
And lemon, yeah. But okay. I'm just thinking in the case of chili, I probably would prefer lime to the lemon. But I never have limes in the house. I have no idea why limes are so expensive. But they are. So I only buy a lime when I really need one. Whereas lemons, I another thing I feel insecure is if I don't have any lemons in the house.
I know. I once was forced to make a salad dressing that with lime juice instead of lemon juice. And every feeling revolted. Plus, it didn't taste great.
Well, it's not the same at all.
It just isn't.
Anyway, I use a lot of lemons. And I make, for instance, the other day I made... you know what? We went to Costco. Oh, olive oil update. Went to Costco, and they have for $14 a liter in the classic tall, square, dark green bottle. Such good olive oil from Puglia. I think they're calling it from Bari, B-A-R-I. But Bari is the main province and the biggest city in Puglia. And Puglia is the largest olive oil producer in Italy, which makes it practically in the world. And but as somebody in Puglia once told me, an olive oil producer, who said, you know, we make the best olive oil in the world, but also the worst. So the worst goes into things like olive oil soap. But for eating purposes, Pugliese olive oil is very, very, the good extra virgin olive oil is very good, buttery, not too grasping at the back of the throat, although I like that. Those are the polyphenols that do that, and the polyphenols are the antioxidants. But it's a really well-balanced oil, and only $14 a liter. So that's my olive oil update. There have other olive oils there, too, but I haven't tried them.
Yeah.
Anyway, why did I get off on olive oil?
I don't know, but it's good. It's all good, and I'm hungry.
Well, you know, because it's going to be a bad olive oil season. And the fact is, Costco gets a limited amount of Tuscan olive oil. I'm not sure they're going to get it this year. But if anybody who shops at Costco sees it, pick it up, because it'll be the new oil, the oil that they're pressing, well, November now. They're pressing olive oil now all the way up through Tuscany, and what little there is in Tuscany. But there's lots still, apparently, in Sicily and Puglia. So we're going to get – those are very good oils, so, in general.
So we'll know what to do. All right.
All right. Well, anyway.
I'm hungry. You've succeeded.
Minestra comes to mind at this season, I got to say, because I don't know, they just feel like fall dishes.
Yeah, and it's also the weather is so erratic. So, you know, it's like it's warmish, it's cold, it's damp, it's warm.
So, as I said, we enjoyed I haven't eaten it in a while, and we enjoyed it so much, I'm making it again tomorrow.
Okay, I'll be there.
All right, well, everybody have a good week. Settle down. The world's blowing up, but we could be settled down.
Oh, the world!
And I'll add that the pasta and dishes are very comforting.
And I will add that the world will be fine.
The world will be fine.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's hope.
Okay.
All right. And maybe that'll do it.
Could do.
Okay.
All right. Everybody,
take
hoping.
Care, everyone.
All
have
right.
A great week.
Thanks.
Bye.